This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, August 2nd, 2018, coming up this hour.
Stocks in Asia plummet as the White House considers higher tariffs on China.
U.S. futures and European equities follow suit while the dollar strengthens.
Assets in Turkey plunge after U.S. sanctions on government officials.
And shares of Tesla surge as the company burns through less cash.
President Trump's lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be close to the final stages of talks for an interview in the Russia probe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Big Yankee-Red Sox series starts tonight in Boston. Yanks with a bad loss yesterday to the lowly Orioles. The Mets lost again in Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Well, a sell-off in Asia is spilling into U.S. futures and European equities as the Trump administration's latest threats on trade rattles markets. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures lower, down 13 points. Dow futures down 123. NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. CAC in Paris down 0.7%. So is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 2.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.99%. Yield on the 2-year 2.67%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 7 cents to $67.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.30 to $12.2640 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1621 and the yen 111.56. Nathan.
Karen, let's start in Asia, where stocks plunged after the White House confirmed it is considering higher tariffs on Chinese goods. Today's session erased $220 billion from Asian equities. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally is in Singapore with the latest. Juliet.
Nathan and Karen, the CSI 300 closed lower by 2.2%, while the Chinex index of small cap stocks fell to lows not seen since February 2015. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index also plummeted with 10-cent leading declines. Elsewhere, the Bank of Japan stepped in to stop climbing yields, announcing an unscheduled operation to buy 400 billion yen worth of 5 to 10 year bonds. 10-year JGB yields paired gains after earlier touching 0.145%, the highest since February 2017. The Nikkei closed down by 1%. Stock market losses in Seoul, Sydney, Taipei, Singapore and Mumbai also weighed on the regional index, but Chinese and Hong Kong investors certainly bore the brunt of Thursday's selling. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. We get another central bank decision today, and this one is live. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Neera Chehich joins us now from the Bank of England. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Markets fully pricing in that quarter point rate rise from the Bank of England today, and economists expecting it too. But is this the right time to tighten policy? The data says go. Retail sales have bounced back. Unemployment is the lowest since the 1970s. And crucially, inflation is above target. There are some signs that we've had a pickup in the economy since that first quarter slowdown. The big question mark, though, is Brexit and whether the Bank of England could be hiking into a potential slowdown. Now, Mark Carney will get a chance to guide the markets following decision, but with expectations going into the meeting so high, he may need to deliver more than just a rate rise to give support to sterling. It's hit a two-week low in today's session. At the Bank of England in London, I'm Neera Chehich, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Neera, thanks. In Turkey, the currency has weakened to a record. The Turkish lira pushed past 5 per dollar today, while stocks and bonds tumble. The moves come after the U.S. imposed unprecedented sanctions on the country. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
The sanctions target Turkey's Minister of Justice, Abdulhamit Gül, and Minister of Interior, Süleyman Soylu, both of whom played leading roles in the organizations responsible for the arrest and detention of U.S. pastor Andrew Brunson. In Istanbul, Simon Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Simon. Here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is sticking with its plan to gradually lift rates. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. The Fed unanimously decided to leave interest rates unchanged while making it clear borrowing costs are headed higher. They cited economic activity that has been rising at a strong rate and repeated guidance for further gradual increases. Scott Minard is Chief Investment Officer at Guggenheim.
The plan for rate increases is being further cemented. We are going to get two more rate increases this year.
Odds for a rate hike at the central bank's September meeting have now risen to 100%. Policymakers weigh their action as the U.S. economy grew at a 4.1% pace in the second quarter, and inflation is close to the Fed's 2% goal. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, John. Now let's get some earnings out of Europe. Societe Generale's investment bank posted better-than-expected results. At the same time, it recorded a 4% decline in revenue from stock trading and prime services. Shares of SocGen are down nearly 2%.
Shares of Barclays were initially higher after reporting earnings. They're now down 1%. The bank beat on most key metrics, including trading revenue, and Barclays says it remains on track to meet its return on equity targets for 2019 and 2020.
Shares of BMW are down nearly 3%. Earnings before interest and taxes for the German automaker fell 6.3%. BMW is keeping its forecast for the year. That makes it an outlier in the industry, with most car companies cutting financial targets as global trade tensions escalate.
Shares of Rolls-Royce are higher by 5%. The company said full-year earnings will be at the upper end of its forecast. Rolls-Royce posted a profit of $100 million. Analysts had expected a loss.
And here in the U.S., shares of Tesla are up 8% in early trading after the company burned through less cash in the second quarter. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet reports.
CEO Elon Musk says profit is around the corner after years of losses. Free cash flow was negative $739 million for the 3 months ending in June. Analysts were projecting Tesla would go through about $900 million during the period. Musk has insisted the company will not need to raise more capital this year, a view that Wall Street has doubted after the company repeatedly pushed back manufacturing targets for the Model 3. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And futures this morning are moving lower. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's find out what else is going on around the world. Michael Barr is with us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump's lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be nearing the final stages of negotiations over whether the president will sit for questioning. The two sides have exchanged proposals over the scope of a possible interview about whether Trump's 2016 campaign colluded with Russia. Meanwhile, the White House is downplaying the president's Twitter rampage, slamming the special counsel's investigation. The story from Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro.
When the president tweeted the words, "Attorney General Jeff Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now," Connecticut Democratic Senator Dick Blumenthal reacted this way.
This tweet strikes me as very close to obstruction of justice.
But White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says that wasn't an order, just Trump's opinion.
He's certainly expressing the frustration that he has with the level of corruption that we've seen from people like Jim Comey.
Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation long ago. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
A divided U.S. appeals court struck down a key part of President Trump's contentious effort to crack down on cities and states that limit cooperation with immigration officials, saying an executive order threatening to cut funding for sanctuary cities was unconstitutional. Vice President Mike Pence arrived in Honolulu to attend a transfer ceremony to honor the remains of American troops killed in the Korean War.
President Trump asked me to be here on this day on his behalf. And honestly, I've never been more humbled to be asked to represent him.
The remains will go to a lab to be analyzed for identification. Customers of Chipotle, Arby's, and Sonic should check their credit and debit card receipts. Those businesses were among 3,600 companies hacked by an international group. Now authorities believe they have the heads of the criminal enterprise. One has been arrested in Poland, the other in Spain. U.S. Attorney Annette Hayes in Washington State.
These hackers think they can hide behind keyboards in faraway places and that they can escape the long arm of United States law. I'm here to tell you, and I think this announcement makes clear, they cannot do that.
The suspected hackers are awaiting extradition to Seattle.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michael. 5:09 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's get a Bloomberg NBC Sports update with John Stanshower.
Nathan, nothing like a big Yankee-Red Sox series tonight. Fenway Park, first of four. CC Sabathia against a virtual unknown Brian Johnson. He's in for the injured Red Sox ace Chris Sale. Yanks have gone 5-4 against their arch rivals. Need to win at least 3 of 4 now to get closer to first place. They are 5.5 games behind after a bad 7-5 loss at the stadium yesterday to the lowly Orioles, a team that was already dreadful and then just traded away any decent players they had. Sonny Gray came in 3-0 against Baltimore, just 5-7 against everyone else, and he was booed off the mound in the third inning. He responded by smiling.
I've always been a mellow guy that kind of tries to think things through and get over it and move on. And it's just frustrating. And well, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I think everyone kind of handles things differently, and that's kind of how I've always done it.
Lance Lynn replaced him. He looked good in his Yankee debut. He may now replace Gray in the rotation. Gleyber Torres did hit 2 home runs in the loss. In Washington, Jose Reyes, the day after he gave up 2 home runs while pitching the 8th inning in that 25-4 loss, hit 2 himself. Not enough. Mets lost to the Nationals 5-3. Scandal at Ohio State. Just as the Buckeyes start to get ready for the upcoming season, their legendary coach Urban Meyer put on paid administrative leave pending investigation into just when Meyer knew about Zach Smith's history of domestic violence. Smith was an assistant coach fired last week. Meyer said he had no previous knowledge. A report yesterday said he's known for at least 3 years. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, thanks, John. And online sports betting has arrived in New Jersey. DraftKings has announced it'll start taking bets in the state through its new mobile app, making it the first legal online sports wagering offered in the Garden State. Sports betting became legal in Jersey in May after the Supreme Court struck down a federal law that barred the practice in most of the country. Brick-and-mortar operators started taking bets in June after Governor Phil Murphy signed a state law regulating online sports betting. Futures contracts pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg. 5:11 on Wall Street. We are less than 2 hours away from the rate decision out of the Bank of England. We'll look at what to expect in the macro picture. Societe Generale's global fixed income strategist Kit Jukes joins us on Daybreak. This is Bloomberg.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A sell-off in Asian stocks spilling over into European equities and U.S. futures as the Trump administration's latest threats to free trade rattles markets. The dollar's climbing and bonds are mixed with central bank policy high on the agenda. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up down about 13 points. Dow futures down 119. NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany's down 1.7%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.99%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.67%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $67.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.60 to $12.26 an ounce. The euro, $1.1620. The yen, 111.57. Today we get the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Then factory orders and durable goods orders are out at 10. And almost 50 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include Aetna, Dow DuPont, Yum Brands, AIG, and broadcaster CBS. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The White House says that when President Donald Trump said his attorney general should immediately end special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, he was giving his opinion and that it was not in order. Meanwhile, Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says negotiations are continuing to have Trump sit down for questions for Mueller. The Trump administration eased rules on short-term health insurance coverage, allowing insurers to offer cheaper plans with limited coverage for up to 3 years. However, insurers would be able to turn down coverage for pre-existing conditions. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Kit Jukes. He's a global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. As we continue to watch this global equity sell-off with trade worries front and center, Kit. Are investors running toward haven currencies?
Not very much yet. I mean, the yen is the strongest currency, so but it's not as strong as it might have been, because the center of the concern is around China, and obviously China and Japan have a very close trading relationship. But I mean, the most obvious winner is the dollar at this point in time. They're certainly, to be clear, fleeing from some of the high yielding currencies. That the Turkish lira is down another load today, and the South African rand's under pressure.
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit about the Turkish lira getting hammered with these unprecedented new sanctions out of the U.S. We've even seen Iran coming to Turkey's defense. It just seems like a lot of turmoil over there.
Well, you know, Turkey is, I mean, at the beginning vulnerable because they have one of the world's larger current account deficits. If you look at the sort of the big current account deficit economies, Turkey, Argentina, Pakistan's now being talked about calling in the IMF. They've devalued. Obviously, Argentina's had a lot of trouble. Turkey's in that crowd. So they're very dependent on foreign capital inflows, particularly portfolio flows. So foreigners buying Turkish bonds. Then you've got, nervousness about political interference in monetary policy, and they decided to leave rates on hold last week when every strategist, economist that I know was expecting them to raise rates by about 1% at least. So they've piled more pressure on themselves from that, and just another negative factor coming through from these U.S. imposed sanctions.
Yeah, at what point does the IMF step in and intercede? What factors into that decision?
For the IMF, you'd have to ask the IMF to come in. And the IMF comes in when people come when people ask for them, and they come in response to a balance of payments crisis where a country simply can't solve its needs. So I don't think that's imminent. I mean, I think it's not just imminent, it's very unlikely in the foreseeable future in Turkey's case. They would be more likely to impose themselves capital controls if they were worried. But let's be clear, they don't have a balance of payments crisis at this point in time in Turkey. They have a crisis of confidence in monetary policy that's exacerbated by tighter global liquidity as the world's major central banks normalize, and exacerbated by not being sure what the new regime's view on monetary policy is.
All right, let's turn to the latest central bank to make a move. The Bank of England expected to raise its rate 0.25%. Is now the right time?
Is ever the right time? My inbox is full of people who say, why on earth would you raise rates when the economy's gone from being the strongest performer in the G7 to the weakest performer, when it's growing slowly, when there isn't much inflation, there isn't much wage pressure. The Bank of England, I think, feel that simply the level of rates is too low and that they ought to nudge them up a little bit. Remember, we're making a move from 0.5% to 0.75%. That's not really going to change anything in the big scheme of things. This is not the start of a cycle. We're not going to see rates go to 1, then 1.25, then 1.50, then 1.5 and on. We may plausibly just about get a second rate hike. My guess would be that if we did, then we'll probably be back at 25 basis points before we get to 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, so much is dependent on Brexit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's dependent on Brexit. Some of it's, look, the global cycle is also, the global economic cycle is aging, let's call it that way. The U.S. is going to help determine how long it is. But the U.K. economy is at full capacity, is slowing. It's not clear that it can go on indefinitely, even at this rate. And then there's all the uncertainty around Brexit. I know there's all the risk from the way the politics goes that Brexit turns out economically quite badly. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to avoid the sense that they're raising rates a little bit so that they can bring them down a little bit before they have to resort to more quantitative easing. Great.
What are you going to be listening for most closely from Governor Carney in his news conference after the decision?
I think indications to around whether this is more or less a one-off move or if he starts trying to talk it up as being the start of a cycle. I will really struggle to believe him if he talks bullishly about a cycle or if he talks concerned about inflation. So I'll want a sense of how they are thinking within, because my impression is this is something they want to do to normalize rates a little bit, but it's not a big deal. And how he goes about standing up to say that in public will be interesting.
7 a.m. Wall Street time. The Bank of England announces its decision on rates. Of course, we will be watching very closely. Kit Jukes, Global Fixed Income Strategist at Societe Generale, thanks as always for your insights. And right now, the British pound is trading at $1.30 is what you get for a British pound. That's a loss of about 3%. The euro at $1.1618. And the yen, as the equity sell-off in Asia continues, is at 111.54. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak's brought to you by Willoughby's. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, and we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. So let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A fresh round of trade war fears is sending stock markets lower around the world. The hardest hit, Asia. Stocks in China and Hong Kong fell more than 2%.
Turkey's lira tumbled past 5 per dollar to a record low. Government bonds and stocks also slumped after the U.S. imposed unprecedented sanctions on Turkey.
It's the Bank of England's turn following the Fed's decision to stand pat. But unlike the U.S. Central Bank, economists are forecasting the BOE will raise rates a quarter of a point.
On the earnings front, Dow, DuPont, Cigna, Aetna, and CBS lead four dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting results today. We get a CBS preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
CBS started the year on a strong footing, and Bloomberg Intelligence says the network likely built on that momentum in the second quarter. The network's earnings call could be especially newsworthy. Fox News has reported that embattled CEO Les Moonves plans to speak on the call. The CBS board this week decided an outside counsel should look into charges of sexual misconduct by Moonves. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Tesla shares are up more than 8%. The electric car maker burned through less cash than analysts expected last quarter, while Chief Executive Officer Elon Musk's projected profit is around the corner after years of losses.
In Europe, BMW is down more than 2%. Chinese consumers held back buying cars in the second quarter as the German automaker finds itself in the crosshairs of a U.S.-China trade spat.
Shares of Barclays were initially higher after reporting earnings. They are now down 1%. The bank beat on most key metrics, including trading revenue.
French bank Societe Generale also beat earnings estimates, but the stock is down 2% after posting a 4% decline in revenue from stock trading and prime services.
And shares of wireless speaker maker Sonos begin trading today on the NASDAQ after an underwhelming initial public offering. The company priced shares below the marketed range.
And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 168. NASDAQ futures down 56. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil is lower, down 0.33% or 24 cents to $67.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.20 to $12.25.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1613, and the yen, 111.56. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump's lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be nearing the final stages of talks for a possible interview. Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, suggested the president would only answer questions about whether his 2016 campaign colluded with Russia, not whether Trump obstructed justice. Meanwhile, the White House is defending President Trump's tweets, in which he called on Attorney General Jeff Sessions to end the Russia investigation. White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders says the tweets were not in order.
There's a reason that the president's angry, and frankly, most of America is angry as well, and there's no reason he shouldn't be able to voice that opinion.
Federal prosecutors presented invoices and accounting in an attempt to highlight the lavish spending of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Six vendors took the stand yesterday in Manafort's tax evasion and bank fraud trial. After over six decades since the end of the conflict in Korea, the remains of dozens of presumed U.S. war dead are home. Ed Baxter reports from the Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
55 cases North Korea says contain the remains of American service members have been flown to Hawaii. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence says this proves that Korea is not the forgotten war.
We pledge to you, we will never stop striving until every hero lost in the Korean War is home.
Now the slow process of identification begins. DNA is the first line. Family members have already submitted their samples. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Deadly and destructive wildfires scorching Northern California are also burning through the state's firefighting budget. Officials say the state has already spent more than a quarter of its annual fire budget just a month into the budget year. California Governor Jerry Brown calls it the new normal.
We're in for a really rough ride, and it's going to get expensive, it's going to get dangerous, and we have to apply all our creativity to making the best out of what is going to be an increasingly bad situation, not just for California, but for people all over America and all over the world.
17 states are helping California battle the wildfires. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. In more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, hard to understand how the Yankees have a better record against the Red Sox than they do against the Orioles. Boston has won 75 games. Baltimore has lost 75, yet they beat the Yanks and the ineffective Sonny Gray 7-5 at the stadium where Gray was booed off the mound in the third inning and was then asked about possibly losing his spot in the rotation.
You know, whatever happens, if I get the ball in 5 days, then I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna go compete, and I'm gonna do my best, and I'm gonna try to put us in a good position to win the game. But if not, then I'm gonna be right there, doing whatever I'm called upon.
Yanks are 6-6 against Baltimore and 5-4 against Boston. Where they start a huge four-game series tonight, CC Sabathia on the mound for the Yanks, who are 5.5 games behind the Sox. Yanks say they're hopeful Jay Happ could make his start on Saturday. He has hand, foot, and mouth disease, the same rare affliction that just hit the Mets' Noah Syndergaard. He returned yesterday, gave up three runs early, nothing after that, took the loss as Washington won 5-3. Mickey Callaway called Syndergaard a bright spot.
Obviously rusty at the beginning. You know, his schedule has been crazy. He was down for so long with the other stuff, and then came back, made one start, and then had the hand, foot, to mouth, and then was out 11 days. But he really settled in and did a nice job. I thought for as strange as his routine has been, that he did a heck of a job.
Jose Reyes, two home runs for the Mets the day after he pitched in that historic 25-4 loss and gave up two homers. Urban Meyer's future as coach at Ohio State in doubt after a report that he and his wife have known for at least 3 years about Zach Smith's history of domestic violence. Meyer said last week he was unaware. Smith was recently fired as an Ohio State assistant. Meyer's been placed on paid leave. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the new space age, and also in the issue, the woman who wants to bring down the cost of exploring space. Kyle Stock wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
31-year-old rocket scientist, just a brilliant woman, and she's got a very cool startup that is possibly going to change the economics of space exploration.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. Brookfield Property Partners has sold a 28% stake in a portfolio of Manhattan office and multifamily buildings for about $1.4 billion. It'll sell another 7% to institutional investors. The sale includes Brookfield's core Manhattan holdings, in addition to One Manhattan West and the first of its residential towers in Greenpoint. Online sports betting has arrived in New Jersey. DraftKings, taking wagers in the state Wednesday afternoon through its new mobile app, making it the first legal online sports wagering offered in the Garden State. Sports betting became legal in New Jersey in May. Stratford, Connecticut's Tavern Rock is safe. The 1.6-acre parcel at the corner of Huntington and Tavern Rock Roads has been sold by the town hall to Thomas Dugas, who intends to keep the land in its natural wooded state. Last year, Dugas asked the town council to sell the property to him instead of a developer. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 now on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm talking about quarterly results from area companies, including Church & Dwight and AmerisourceBergen.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Yum China's facing a sales slowdown as it struggles to attract younger diners.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on earnings from Barclays as CEO Jess Staley says the bank is running free.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the U.S. electric vehicle charging market will grow to $18.6 billion.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Red headline just crossing your Bloomberg terminal. China says it is ready to retaliate after the latest U.S. tariff threat. In a statement, the Chinese Ministry of Commerce says China is fully prepared for the U.S. threat to escalate the trade war. The agency says China advocates solving trade issues with dialogue based on equality and commitment. Right now, U.S. futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street with the S&P down 18 points. That is a loss of 0.2%. Dow futures down 176, a loss of 0.7. NASDAQ futures down 57. This is Bloomberg. I want to introduce you to At TikTok by Bloomberg. It's the first and only global news network built for Twitter. 24/7 news streaming live at TIC TOC. Check it out on Twitter.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we did have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. China saying it was ready to retaliate against the latest threat by the U.S. to raise tariffs on its goods. In a statement, China's Ministry of Commerce saying China has made full preparation for the U.S. threats to escalate the trade war and will have to retaliate to defend national pride and the people's interests. A sell-off in Asia is spilling into U.S. futures and European equities. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points, Dow futures down 165, NASDAQ futures down 54, the DAX in Germany's down 1.8%, 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 2.98%, yield on the 2-year 2.66%, NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 55 cents to $67.11 a barrel, COMEX gold down 0.25% on $2.80 to $12.24.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.16.11. The yen, 111.54. At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the government issues data on jobless claims. Economists say they probably rose to 220,000 last week. And Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
America's labor market presses on. Jobless claims remain close to a half-century low amid record job openings. The economy added more than 1 million jobs so far this year. The government will issue its monthly payroll report on Friday. Also today, factory orders. Preliminary data show durable goods orders rose in June, the first gain in 3 months. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he looks forward to seeing North Korean leader Kim Jong-un soon. In a tweet, Trump said, "Thank you to Chairman Kim Jong-un for keeping your word and starting the process of sending home the remains of our great and beloved missing fallen. I am not at all surprised that you took this kind action." It is day three of the tax and bank fraud trial of President Trump's ex-campaign chairman. Yesterday, jurors heard details of Paul Manafort's lavish spending, nearly all paid for either in cash or offshore wire transfers. The defense has argued that the illegal conduct alleged by the government was carried out by Manafort's associate, Rick Gates. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles, the Mets lost to the Nationals, the A's won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael Barr, thank you so much. 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform of informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jen Ryan in our London bureau. Bloomberg opinion editor joins us now. Jennifer, Tesla trying to turn the page, but drama persists. People on the call with Elon Musk seem to like a contrite Tesla CEO. What to make of the rally in the stock?
Right. So this is an opinion piece written by Liam Denning. And he points out that, you know, really what we should be focusing on is the fact that Tesla lost more than $4 per share for the third quarter in a row. And that really should give investors some pause. I mean, despite the rapid growth in sales, Tesla is still losing thousands of dollars on each vehicle, according to his own estimates at the pre-tax line. I mean, the broader picture is that you've got rising debt, negative margins, and ever more negative working capital. And this just isn't a sustainable model without further infusions of cash from the outside. However, Tesla's adamant that it won't tap the equity market.
So why not? Why isn't it going to tap the equity market?
Well, it's got another trick up its sleeve, as it were. It's slashing capital expenditure. It started the year saying that CapEx would exceed the $3.4 billion of 2017. But guidance has now fallen by about $1 billion. I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, that's not exactly a bad news, because what does that mean? It means more free cash.
Yeah. So what's the problem with leaving space for more free cash?
I mean, Denning points out that there's a kind of dissonance in all of that. I mean, to be clear, there's a good chance that Tesla will report positive results for the current quarter. But it's got a $51 billion market cap that rests overwhelmingly on a really ambitious long-term growth projection. So the central drama, weaning Tesla off outside money, really has yet to be resolved.
All right, let's move on to a drama playing out in South Africa. Leonid Bershidsky's talking about the land problem there that won't go away. Some lawmakers in South Africa are pushing a constitutional amendment to clarify when the South African government can seize land. How's that sitting with investors?
Well, it's a bit curious, Bershidsky says, because the punchline here is that late on Tuesday, President Cyril Ramaphosa threw his weight behind the amendment, and that move drove the South African rand down. But then what investors kind of twigged is that they thought this might be a spot of electioneering ahead of next year's vote. And so the rand then duly recovered. I mean, part of what they're bearing in mind here is that the president has pledged to attract $100 billion in foreign investment to South Africa over the next 5 years. And he's also long emphasized that any land expropriation shouldn't threaten economic growth.
And I guess there's a persistent problem in South Africa with land ownership.
Yeah, and Bershidsky says this is what investors should really be paying attention to, because under apartheid, most land was, of course, owned by white South Africans. And though the regime fell in the early 1990s and equitable land reform is enshrined in the Constitution, the reality is that white commercial farmers have retained 2/3 of the country's agricultural land. So all the reforms that have taken place since the collapse of the apartheid regime have continued to leave blacks and whites in unequal circumstances.
So real quickly, Jen, what's wrong with the government's approach?
Well, Bershidsky says it's hard to see how confiscation without compensation can solve the inequality problem. And this is going to be something that creates a whole lot of tension that should actually be a bigger worry for investors than just the constitutional amendment being discussed.
Jen Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in London. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal subscribers can find all those pieces by typing O-P-I-N. Go. Karen.
Well, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
California's insurance regulator Dave Jones has urged the U.S. Justice Department to block the $69 billion merger between CVS Health and Aetna, saying the deal would have significant anti-competitive impacts. The National Conference of State Legislatures says states are lining up to boost sales and use tax collections from marketplace providers like Amazon, eBay, and Etsy. And an email privacy law update sought by tech companies has been dropped from the final version of the fiscal 2019 Defense Authorization Bill.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at day two of the Paul Manafort trial, which has been overshadowed by tweets from President Trump, who compared his former campaign chairman's legal situation to that of notorious gangster Al Capone. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with former federal prosecutor at Lowenstein Sandler special counsel Ellie Honig.
Ellie, before we get to the trial itself, what's going on with the Manafort tweet storm, references to Al Capone?
It's hard to follow. The president has been all over the map in his relationship with Paul Manafort. Of course, when Manafort was the campaign manager, they were close, and the president vouched for him and supported him. When Manafort got remanded a month or so ago on witness tampering, the president said he got a raw deal. The last week or so, you saw the president doing what a lot of people do when someone's closing in on them or when someone's in trouble and say, I barely know this guy. He only worked for me for some short time. Who is he? But then today, the president seems to have bounced back to the original position of, oh, this poor guy's getting such a raw deal. So he's all over the map.
So now let's talk about the Manafort trial. Now we know the defense. It's blame it on the witness who's cooperating with the government. Manafort claims his right-hand man, Rick Gates, did the crime. It's not a very original defense, but might it work?
It's quite standard. Blame the cooperator. It's really the everyone did it but me defense, which is hard to swallow when the but me is the boss, the top guy. And so I think they're going to have an evidence problem, and they're going to have a common sense problem with the jury. Who's the guy who built the company? It was Manafort. Who's the guy who opened 30 bank accounts all around the world? Who's the guy who had the relationships with the oligarchs? Who's the guy, most importantly, who made the most money? Who's wearing, the now infamous ostrich jacket? But it's a hard sell. To say my number two did it all is going to be tough. And the evidence looks like it's just not going to support it. And obviously Gates will implicate Manafort, but it sounds like others will too. Take the first witness who seems like a pretty down the middle witness. He said the one quote that I took out of his testimony was he said Paul was in charge. Paul, meaning Manafort, was in charge. And beyond that, you have financial documents showing the money going to Manafort. You have emails. One of the key allegations here is that Manafort knew he had these foreign bank accounts and lied on it in his tax returns. There is information in the indictment saying we have communications from his accountant asking, Paul, do you have foreign bank accounts? And Manafort said no. So I don't know how they get around that.
And that's former federal prosecutor and Lowenstein Sandler special counsel Ellie Honig speaking with Bloomberg's Doom Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 18 points. Dow futures down 175. NASDAQ futures down 55. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 53 cents to $67.13 a barrel. The euro, $1.1613. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.